Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
So, by way of introduction, it's a brand new year, right? 2026, and a couple days ago, we were all doing that New Year's Eve stuff and all of that. And so, typically, this should be a New Year's sermon, right? It should be about New Year's and resolutions and promises and, you know, healthy weight and good eating and obeying the speed laws. Should be a lot of things like that, right? But I kept looking in my Bible trying to find some verses about New Year's. And I want you to know that I found some. Zacchaeus was in the tree. You remember that? Okay, most of you, three of you. Zacchaeus was in the tree. And Jesus came, said, hey, come down because I'm going to your house today. And Ben, you might not know this. It was New Year's Eve on that day. So New Year's Eve is in the Bible when Zacchaeus came down. That was a New Year's Eve party. So it was great. So anyway, today we're going to be talking about John the Baptizer, right? John the Baptizer, what a great day to do that. So I want you to understand it's not John the Baptist. How many of you were raised Baptist? Some of you? I'm sorry. We'll have free counseling afterwards. So, just teasing, I was a Baptist once, and then I got saved. Okay. Yeah, it really is Jimmy Kimmel, isn't it? No. So, it's not John the Baptist. It's not John the Southern Baptist. It's not John the American Baptist. Not John the North American Baptist. It's not John the Free Will Baptist, nor John the Progressive Baptist, or John the Primitive Baptist, John the Conservative Baptist, John the Independent Fundamental Baptist, John the Reformed Baptist, or John the Confessional Baptist, or not John General Association of Regular Baptists, GARBC. So none of those, it's John the Baptizer. So as you know, John is the cousin of Jesus, right? And John has this very important role in the story of our Savior, and in fact, in the story of salvation. John is a very big deal, but the problem is it's very short-lived. John doesn't get to be a big deal for a long time. But what I want us to see today is that John can teach us a lot about doubt, unfulfilled expectations, and how unexpected situations and circumstances in our life can rattle our faith. And I'm sure I'm not the only person here that has run into doubt and discouragement and really being in situations where you say, hey, God, what's going on here? So let's begin with John the Baptizer. He's another special child. He is a special child. He's part of the Christmas story. He's Jesus' cousin. And in Luke chapter 1, we see that his birth is foretold. It's similar to Jesus, except Mary was a young woman. The angel visited her. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the angel visited him. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptizer, but he's old. And Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptizer, she's old. So, but they were godly people. We see in Luke chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. They were good Christian people. They were careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. So we see that there are it's a similar situation to Mary and Joseph. But what we see happening is that Zechariah is chosen, and this is an act of God by God's divine hand. Zechariah is chosen to go into the temple and offer the incense. And so as he goes in there to offer the incense, an angel shows up and starts talking to Zechariah. And the angel says, Zechariah, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son by the old-fashioned way, right? So, verses 14, 17, the angel says, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at your son's birth, John the Baptizer. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. You remember Elijah, right? He was that great Old Testament prophet that got swept up into heaven, a chariot of fire, right? He was the greatest prophet until kind of John the Baptizer came along. And he says, John the Baptizer will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. That's a pretty big deal. Prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. That's a lot of responsibility. So Zechariah is kind of stunned, and Zechariah's got some doubts. So he's kind of talking to the angel, well, I'm old, Elizabeth's old. What do you mean? What's going on here? I don't get it. So the angel says, okay, for 9 months, you're not going to talk. And for Elizabeth, that was one of the sweetest pregnancies ever. Right? So Zechariah can't talk for 9 months. So John gets born, John the Baptizer is born, and they have a great celebration on the day of his circumcision. And Zechariah once again begins to speak. And we read in verse 66 some insights into John's ministry. Everyone who heard about it, John's birth, reflected on these events, and they asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the Lord's hand was surely upon him in a special way. So, you know, here's this old couple, they're having a baby, and they know it's really special, and things are going on. So what will this child turn out to be? Exactly what my parents asked the day of my birth. My dad scratching his head, looking at my mom. We have no idea what's going to happen with this guy. But John the Baptizer was special. Then Zechariah, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives this amazing prophecy about his son. John the Baptizer is the prophet of God who will prepare the way for the Messiah. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way in the wilderness for the Lord. Make straight a highway through the wasteland for our God, Jesus in the flesh. After his father's prophetic words, we read this. John grew up, became strong in spirit. He lived in the wilderness until his public ministry began. So John is not your typical go to college, go to seminary, go to church, start working as a youth pastor, work your way up to the senior guy. John's got a whole different ministry going on. So he starts preaching in the wilderness, and he's preaching repentance of sin. He's preaching baptism, turning away from your sins and turning towards God. And the message is well received. Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all Judea, all over the Jordan Valley, they went out to see and hear John. This guy's got it going on. Something is happening out there. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. This baptism, it's this kind of physical thing for us to see. They go down in the water, they come back up, buried with Christ, risen in new life. It's symbolic of a change on the inside, but we want people on the outside to see it. So what do? We get baptized. We proclaim our faith publicly. And so this is what John's doing after these people confess their sins. And so it's a great thing, this baptism that John's doing. And John, he had special words for the Sadducees, for the Pharisees, for the religious elite. You know what John told them? He says, don't count on your pious lifestyle. Don't count on your heritage. Don't count on your position, because none of those things matter in the eyes of God. We all have to confess our sins the same way. We all have to come to the foot of the cross. We all have to kneel before Jesus and ask him to forgive us. That's how it works. Oh, but Pastor Rick, you don't understand. I come from a very religious family. That's great. That's good. I'm happy for you. But coming from a religious family don't get you into heaven. But my grandfather was a deacon. Good for your grandfather, but that doesn't get you into heaven. And so John the Baptizer is looking at the religious elite. He says, you need to confess your sins. And of course, religious people don't like to hear those things. So as John was preaching out there, one of the things that happened is they started to wonder, could John be the Messiah? Could John be the Messiah? But John was very, very clear. He's not the Messiah. He says in Luke 3, someone is coming soon, and they are greater than I am. So much greater, I can't even tie their shoes. You see the humility? John understood his role. He understood his position. John says, I'm not even worthy to untie the straps of Jesus' sandal. Amazing humility from a guy that has a pretty big ministry, a pretty big part in the story of Jesus. So John's big day comes. John's big day comes. Ministry continues. He's out there. He knows his mission, and he's living out the call given to him by God. So I got to stop here for a minute. We all have a call from God, something to do for his kingdom's sake. Now, maybe yours isn't to go preach out in the wilderness. Maybe yours isn't to baptize them in Laguna Creek. But we've all been called and gifted to do something for the kingdom of God. How many of you were here Christmas Eve? I went to one of the Christmas Eve services. Was that not a great production? Okay, three of you were impressed. Was that not a great production? Yeah, it was great. All of the time, the talent, the energy, the big screen and the red curtains and the orchestra thing over here and the girls and the Christmas tree and presents. What if those people didn't follow the calling God put on their life? We would be sitting out there on Christmas Eve watching a blank screen, right? So we all have something, and we all need to find what that is for us. Because LifePoint's a big church. And you know what a big church needs? A lot of volunteers, because we do a lot of stuff, right? We do a lot of stuff here. And so we need a lot of people. How many of you enjoyed coffee today? Yeah, somebody did that. They're right back here in the green room, right? You can thank them, absolutely. So see, John knew his role. He understood the call of God on his life, and he was doing it with great success. Then all of a sudden, it's like, I think it was a Tuesday, the Bible says, John's out there, and he looks up, and who's coming? It's the Lamb of God. It's the Son of God in the flesh. It's Jesus, his cousin. It's his cousin. And Jesus is coming up to John, and he says, dude, I need you to baptize me. And you know what John the Baptist says? Oh, no, no way, Jesus. You need to baptize me. You're the Messiah. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Come on, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, 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 John, you don't understand. This is my Father's plan. And so John plunges Jesus down in the Jordan River. Something crazy happens. Matthew 3, verse 16. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. Like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove, and settled on Jesus. And a voice from heaven, the Father, said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. So right here in these two verses, you know what we have? The Trinity of God, the triune God. We have the Holy Spirit coming down, settling on Jesus, who is there. And then we have heavens open up, and God the Father says, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. So it's the Trinity all in one right there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing happens at the baptism of Jesus. And this has got to be a highlight of John's ministry, right? I mean, come on. What an awesome opportunity. Proclaim Jesus' arrival, baptize Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, Jesus in the flesh. John could probably die now and be happy, right? I could. So, John has some issues, very much like you and I. Some doubt arises. Anybody have doubt arise in your walk with Jesus? Okay, three of us, once again. We got to be honest. Life gets hard. Situations happen in our life. Following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. So, John the Baptizer, he made a big enemy. His name was King Herod. And if you know the story, John the Baptizer confronted King Herod because he divorced his wife and married his sister-in-law. Just the thought of that makes me dizzy. No, I have wonderful sister-in-laws, but, right? He wanted to marry his sister, so he married. And John the Baptizer says, no, you can't do that. Stop. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's evil. And you see, Herod feared John, so he threw him in prison. But Herodias, Herod's new wife, his former sister-in-law, she wanted the dude dead. She had all she could take. And eventually Herodias gets her way and John is beheaded in prison. So John is thinking, okay, I'm sitting here in prison, right? Sitting here in prison. Sooner or later, Jesus is going to come post my bail because Jesus is Jesus, right? I got a famous cousin. He's going to come. He's going to do a miracle. The gates are, you know, going to fly open. I'm going to walk out of here, and everything's going to be good. But Jesus didn't. And that's a life lesson for each one of us, as we'll see in a few minutes. John's in prison. He's expressing doubts. He had some questions for Jesus. He's in a bad situation. The guy's in chain facing death. Was all of his ministry wrong? All of his bold preaching and proclamation, Jesus, the Messiah, has come. Was that wrong? Was that misplaced? What did he miss in this whole thing? So John says, you guys go talk to Jesus because I need to know what's up because I'm not sure how long I can stay here in prison. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. So John the Baptizer sent his disciples to ask Jesus, hey, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we look for somebody else? John the Baptizer, really? Are you kidding me? You baptized Jesus. You called him the Messiah. You, of all people, should know who he is. Problem? Wrong expectations. This is what I want us to consider this morning. Doubt, discouragement, hard questions are part of a believer's life. Live long enough. If it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. But you see, doubt, discouragement, hard questions, they're part of a believer's life. And we all might find ourselves in 2026 in an unwanted situation. And I want us to know that God is not disappointed with our doubts and questions. God's not disappointed when we doubt. God's not disappointed when we have hard questions. We're not punished for asking God some questions. Questions about our faith. Questions about God himself. If anyone can set our thinking straight, it's God, isn't it? Many circumstances, situations come into our lives. God, where are you? God, you know what's going on here with me? Are you paying attention? This is not good for me. God, why did you let this happen? Who's guilty of that one? God, why did you let this happen? Most of my issues come because I'm an idiot, not because of God, right? So God, why'd you let this happen? God, if you're there, I need to hear you. And basically what we're saying is, God, rescue me. After such a stellar ministry, John should be the last person to have doubts and questions about Jesus. The John that we meet in Matthew 11, this questioning prophet in prison, in chains, is very different from the rugged, loud, confident man that we see in Matthew chapter 3. There, John's unafraid, challenging the religious leaders, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But you see, John is in prison, and he hears some rumblings about Jesus, miracles, healings, gospel being preached. Jesus and his followers doing amazing ministry throughout Israel. And John sits on the sideline in prison, in chains. The outlook isn't very good for him. John's left out of all the excitement. John's left out of all the ministry. John had a special calling. The Old Testament spoke about him. He had a miraculous birth. He baptized Jesus, for crying out loud. But now he sits in chains, out of the spotlight, depressed, feeling ignored by his famous cousin. Sometimes, church, we feel ignored by God because the things going on in our life doesn't seem like he's paying attention. But Jesus doesn't get offended with John's questions. This holds true for us as well. He gives John a straightforward answer, verses 4 and 6. Go back to John, tell him what you've heard and seen. Tell John what you've heard and seen. In church, this is our story. What have you heard in your life? What have you seen God do in your life? You know, Pastor Derek, I love that he always talks about our sphere of influence, that circle of people that I'm connected with, that you're connected with. I would like to talk to him about God. I would like to share my faith with him, but I don't know any Bible verses. I don't know any theology. I'm afraid I'm going to get tongue-tied and I won't be able to represent God very well. Go back and tell John what you have heard and seen. What have you heard and seen in your life? I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. I was a dumpster fire, and now not so much. Why? Because Jesus came into my life. That's the story. No one can argue with you about your story. You don't have to learn the verses. You don't have to be a theologian. All you got to do is say, look at me. What have you seen and heard? Share that. And so Jesus says, go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Verse 6, very, very important for John, because this isn't a generalized part. Verse 6 becomes very specific for John. And Jesus added, tell John, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. What does that mean? Yes, amazing, wonderful things are happening. The Messiah is doing some wonderful stuff. But here's the thing. You tell John that God blesses those who persevere. You tell John that God blesses those who hang on. You tell John that God blesses those who don't give up even during the darkest hour. You see, this was what John needed to hear. In church, this is what we need to hear. Hang on, even when it's dark. Hang on, even in the bad circumstances. Hang on, because God is aware. God blesses those who don't fall away. You see, the truth is, none of us are immune from doubt, hard questions, discouragement, and circumstances. Jesus says, hang in there. Trust me. Either those songs are true or not. God is good. Yes or no? Yes. Yes. All the time. Yes? Yes. Amen. We sing that. Do we believe that? God's good all the time. John, even in prison, even in chains, God's good all the time. Don't let your faith weaken, church, because of unfortunate situations or tough circumstances. So now Jesus moves on to high praise. He's got some high praise for John. After answering his questions, Jesus began to talk to the people that were gathered there about John. John had a high position. He had a trusted position. John proclaimed the arrival and actually baptized Jesus. John opened the door for Jesus the Messiah, but then he had to step aside. Matthew chapter 11, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about John the Baptizer to the crowds. What kind of man did you go out to see in the wilderness? What were your expectations of John? Who'd you go out to see? You see, what's our expectations of following Jesus? Because some people get the wrong idea that when you go to church and you start following Jesus, your life becomes rainbows, sunshines, unicorns, and the Disney Channel. What a wonderful life. Let me tell you, church, Satan didn't even pay attention to you till you showed up here today. Satan didn't even know your name till you came to faith in Jesus. He already had you. Why would he bother you? He's already got you. So, Satan and his minions spend their time on us, creating doubt, creating discouragement, even moving us into hard circumstances and situations. What kind of man did you go out to see? They went out to see a prophet. Jesus continues, was John a weak reed, swayed by every breath of wind? John didn't cater to the crowd. He wasn't wishy-washy. Verse 8, or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. They live in palaces. So, John was neither a man swayed by popular opinion or a man well-dressed. He was a man of conviction and courage. A little weird, but the greatest of all prophets. Verse 9, Jesus continues, were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer to when they say, look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, the Messiah, and John the Baptizer, he will prepare the way before you. I tell you the truth, all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptizer. Wow, that's some high praise coming from Jesus. No one is greater than John the Baptizer. Oh my gosh. But notice what Jesus says next. Verse 11. Yet, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptizer. What does that mean? What does that mean? John the Baptizer was a great man. Yet compared to the believers that make up the New Testament church, we are greater than John the Baptizer. What? John was bound by the law of Moses. We are bound by the law of love. We are bound by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven after the resurrection. We are the New Testament church. We are the new kingdom of God. John the Baptizer closed the book of the Old Testament, closed the book on the law of Moses. You see, the least in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that you and I are a part of, the kingdom that is here now but is coming still. We are a part of that church that experiences the death, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, John saw the life of Jesus, but he'd never experienced what it was like to live after the resurrection. And that's the joy you and I share, being part of the New Testament church. You see, Jesus wasn't speaking ill of John's faith. He intended it to be a proclamation of invitation into his kingdom, which is now but is yet coming. The kingdom of God, we're living in it. Jesus said the kingdom is here now, but the good stuff's still out there. It hasn't come yet. So aren't we fortunate, church, to live in this upside down crazy kingdom of God where the Holy Spirit indwells us and leads us and guides us and encourages us. And we can go directly to God without a priest. We can go directly to God without a sacrifice because Jesus ever intercedes for us. And John was not a part of that. So, thoughts for 2026. What do we do with this? That's great. Now we know more about John. We won't call him John the Baptist anymore. Well, there's more, church. First of all, even mature believers can struggle with doubt, discouragement, and hard questions. Even mature believers can wrestle with their faith. John was not a weak or faithless man, yet he was imprisoned, facing death, and he wrestled with hard questions about his life, about his faith. Church, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubt is part of a growing faith. Our faith grows when we doubt, when we wrestle with hard questions. Secondly, circumstances can shake our expectations of God. You ever notice when we pray, sometimes my prayer isn't an agenda for God to follow. You ever pray that way? And God, help my wife, help her to be more loving, more obedient. See, it's just, we give God this agenda that it's not a prayer, it's an agenda I want God to follow. Understand, circumstances can shake our expectations of God. God often works differently than we expect. God often works differently than we expect. Thirdly, it's better to bring doubts to Jesus than let them go unresolved. God welcomes honest questions. He's not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our doubts. He doesn't kick us to the curb because we doubt. Faith grows by not pretending all is well, but by placing our trust in God. Faith grows not by pretending all is well, but by placing our trust in God. That's what the songs were about today. Lastly, sometimes faith means trusting God without being rescued. Ouch. Sometimes faith means trusting God without getting rescued. John died in prison, beheaded. But John was affirmed and praised by Jesus. Faith is not about getting delivered from suffering, but to grow us as we learn to trust God more and more. So, if you're here today and you have some doubts about your faith, you're in good company. Good for you, because God will answer that in God's way and in God's time. And God's not angry because you have hard questions. God's not angry because sometimes you shake your fist and say, "What the heck is going on?" God welcomes that. And if you find yourself in a bad spot this morning, God knows all about it. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't left you. He's working. Always working in our best interests. So this morning, as we enter 2026, doubt's going to come. Discouragement's going to come. And I pray that you don't find yourself in ugly circumstances and in a bad situation. But we're human. And chances are that's going to happen. But know this, we have a good God who is looking out for us. Amen. Father, this morning, I pray that we've been encouraged by the truth of your word. Thank you for this amazing story. John the Baptizer, the greatest of all prophets, who sat in prison and questioned whether Jesus was real or not. So, Father, my prayer is that as we begin this new year, none of us knowing what tomorrow holds, next week, next month, but God, we trust you. We know you are good, and we know wherever we find ourselves that you are there with us. What a great assurance to know that we do not walk alone. Thank you, God, for that. Encourage us now, God, as we sing this last song, an amazing reminder for us to walk out and hold on to today. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.